Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 21st of January, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as per tradition on Secure Your Stuff Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone.
And we've got some old favorites today. We've got some new tips. So I think we're just going to just jump in. First up, we have an interesting development out of the UK. This isn't a done deal yet, but it's something that's kind of on the horizon.
Yes. So this is from the Rolling Stone. They published this over the weekend, last weekend. And they discovered, I think they got their hands on some internal documents saying that the UK government is planning an advertising campaign to attack messaging apps that use end-to-end encrypted, you know, just as a way to get the public on their side for any future laws regarding encryption, I guess.
Yeah.
So they specifically mentioned one proposed idea. Sounds kind of disturbing, which probably is the point. This is a physical campaign that implies end-to-end encryption is bad for kids. And, you know, as I pointed out in my article, this is a pretty common argument. You know, think of the kids, watch out for the terrorists, drug dealers, that sort of thing. We don't want these bad people to use end-to-end encryption. And then, you know, a Home Office spokesperson responded to Rolling Stone saying, you know, we have encouraged this advertising agency to bring together all the different organizations who share concerns about encryption. So, you know, like I said, so we have the ability to keep children safe.
Yeah.
But the stunt was it would be this adult and child, both actors in a glass box, with the adult looking, quote, knowingly at the child as the glass fades to black. So they're going hard.
Yeah. And the part that
taking all punches.
Yeah. The part that stood out to me in this was the part that was like, most of the public has never heard of end-to-end encryption, so they'll easily swayed on the issue.
Yeah.
Like, that's fantastic, because this is a thing that we see all the time when these sort of conversations come up, and privacy is one thing and safety is quite another. And this is one of those instances where somebody really wants to blur the line just to get somebody on their side on an argument like this. It's not fun. Hope it doesn't happen. I'm glad this came out. So that maybe it won't. But I've seen some other stories about the UK government lately that leads me to believe this isn't maybe the craziest thing they've been up to lately. So it's possible this might still be a thing. We'll have to see. As the situation evolves, of course, we will let you know about it. Watch this space, as they say. Much closer to home, because this is sitting in your dock right now. Safari has kind of an issue. And now there's a fix coming. I'm going to just skip to the end. There's a fix on the way for this. But it's not a great hole to have in Safari, right?
Yes. So the website Fingerprint.js talked about this. A Safari 15 bug that has to do with IndexedDB or index database. But yeah, like Kelly says at the top, we'll say there is a fix coming in iOS 15.3. Release candidate has already been out, so we expect it to be released maybe next Monday or Tuesday. So this bug may cause some of your internet activity to leak to third-party websites.
Okay.
So the website is technical. I tried to break it down. So IndexedDB is an API that lets browsers store large amounts of structured data, such as a database, on your device, just to speed things up a bit. It's found within all major browsers. And, you know, the team created a demo video that explains what's happening.
Safari, which is easy to follow. by the way. Like, it's a not super complicated video, and it's not too bad to follow along. It's like 90 seconds or something. So you can sit down and watch it and get a pretty good idea of what's happening. And the good news and the bad news is it's not just Safari.
Well, they only mention Safari. So they just say Safari 15 violates some kind of security policy with this database.
And
they say they specifically mention Google services. So if you log into a website that includes your Google ID, like opening using the same pad for going to various things, that might result in some of this information getting exposed. Mm-hmm. Now, they say it's easier to avoid this on the Mac because you can just use a different browser.
Right.
But they say since Apple forces all iOS and iPadOS browsers to use its own WebKit browser engine, all third-party browsers on these platforms also have this bug.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. But like we said, a fix is coming. Maybe Monday or Tuesday, depending. Releases like this are pretty imminent. So if it becomes a thing, it'll probably come out Monday or Tuesday. So when you get that notification that there's an OS update, go ahead and pull the trigger on that. Because this is probably, there may be other things too, but this is probably what it's for. So definitely make sure you get that out there. Like we said, the fix is coming. So it's kind of alarming. And this is more data leakage. Like, it's possible for other things to access this data. It's not like there's somebody out there, at least that we know of, there's not someone out there actively doing it now to make sure that, to make sure this is something happening. So it's just sort of maybe inadvertent, but hopefully won't be an issue for too much longer.
Yeah, that's the impression I got too.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Now we have to move on to another story. This one's terribly exciting, and that is the IRS is going to want you to take a video selfie.
Yes.
I feel like there's no good words in that sentence at all.
So this is from Krebs on Security. They say the IRS is partnering with this private company called ID.me for people to access and submit their taxes. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a requirement by this summer for all Americans. So they say ID.me is an online identity verification service. It's already been used by 27 states for various forms of verification to, try to cut down on fraud or maybe ID theft. Mm-hmm. And now this is coming to the IRS. So the writer for this, he walked through the process. It sounds like it's kind of tedious, although a commenter on my article said it wasn't really for him because I guess military vets also have to use the service.
Oh, okay.
Based on their support page, they had one animation to, try to describe what it looks like. And to me, it kind of seems like it's for the video selfie. It's like setting up a face ID. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to hold your camera in front of your face, maybe move your head around a little bit. Yeah. If there's some kind of error, then they will have you do a live video chat with an agent.
Okay.
And then, of course, you have to submit other kinds of documents, like maybe a bill, utility bill.
Yeah. And so, what this says is that if you don't have the kind of things that the IRS wants to use to identify you, then they will ask for this video selfie. If you don't have like a utility bill or the driver's license or a passport or any of the other things that you normally need in order to verify identity, then this video selfie thing is a thing that they want to use. And if it sounds familiar to you, you may live in one of the 27 states that are already using this company to do this. So it may not be new to you. But that's, as of now anyway, that's the current state of it. So hopefully you don't have to resort to it. But if you do, it sounds like at least it's not too onerous, but it still doesn't sound like a thing I want to be doing for my taxes. Like, having to file taxes, having to go through filing taxes is bad enough, and now you want a video of me while I'm trying to do it? No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the CEO says, trying to reassure we have strict security, we use encryption, similar things like that, but it's still kind of scary.
Yeah. He did say some things that did sound good. Like, they segregate the consumer data from an identity token so that, like, they, you know, they can tell who it is. And you know, but it's not necessarily tied. If somebody got in, they wouldn't necessarily be able to tell this information was all yours or anything like that. So fingers crossed this is actually something that's not, hopefully, not going to be the worst thing.
Yes.
Speaking hopefully of
we won't appear in our data breach of the week segment.
Yes, which is now. Hello and welcome to one of our favorite segments. It's not one of our favorite segments. This week in data breaches. And this one is especially, like, sad to have to report. Like, if we were going to emoji this one, I'd have to make it the whiskey. Because, like, I'm just kind of bummed out at having to report it.
I mean, yeah, like, any data breach is bad, but this one is, like you said, it's just sad because this is a contractor for the International Committee of the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. They suffered a data breach. The contractor is unnamed. It's just based in Switzerland, they said. Let's see. They say over 515,000 people could be affected by this. And, you know, it's sad because they mentioned, you know, these include people separated from their families due to various conflicts or disasters, missing persons, people in detention. Mm-hmm. So a spokesperson for the Red Cross told TechCrunch, the data includes names, locations, and contact information, along with employee credentials for about 2,000 employees and volunteers. They say because of this, the committee has been forced to shut down the Restore and Family Links network until they can get a handle on this. They don't know who carried out the attack, and they don't know if the data has been leaked or shared yet. But mm-hmm. it is a thing that happened.
Yeah, because these are the people who are affected by this are people who already have enough other stuff to worry about, and then having data out in the world is worse yet. So, I appreciate his optimism in saying, you know, if you had this, please do the right thing and don't share it with anybody else. But and I would like to think that might work, but I don't have a lot of faith in that. So we'll see. And if we find out more about that, we'll let you know here. And I will tell you that there's a link in the show notes to the article, and Andrew hopefully included contact information for people at the Red Cross, ICRC, in case it's something that you end up needing to get a hold of. So now we're going to move on to our practical tip of the week. And thank you to Josh, because this came out of a conversation, Andrew, I think you said you had, with Josh about privacy and what have you. So I had talked about resolutions about things like, you know, cleaning up your contacts and things like that on previous episodes. And one of the things that you can do that's a Security Friday-focused resolution is open your phone and launch the Settings app. And in the Settings app, everything is sort of organized in these blocks. So if you go to the fourth block down, it's kind of a long one, where General is, it's at the top. And at the bottom is Privacy. If you tap on Privacy, it will show you, at the very top, it'll say Location Services and Tracking. And then underneath that, it will show all the different facets of privacy information that you have the option to share. And if you tap on each one of those, it will show you which things are actually sharing it. The whole list that's there is generated by things that have asked. Can I have access to nearby devices? Can I have access to, you know, Bluetooth devices in your area and all kinds of things like that? And the microphone and the camera and stuff. And you can go in there and look and see what has asked. And of those things, what has access now and what doesn't. And it might be a handy thing to go in there and take a look and go, I'm not sure. Like, either A, I don't recognize this, or B, I have changed my mind on whatever the situation was when I put that switch in the position it's in, and you can change it. It's very easy. It's just one of the little switches we're all familiar with from iOS settings. So go take a look in there, and you can see some of the things that are available, like things that have access to the files on your phone, the Files app. This works on the iPad as well, so files on the iPad. HomeKit has a bit of information in there. Bluetooth, reminders, all that kind of stuff. They're all in there. So take a look, and maybe there's something in there that you found or just want to change your mind about. And it's good to kind of go in and check on those every so often and make sure they're all what you think they should be. That's really what we're going for. Not this should be off or this should be on, but just make sure you have some awareness of what all's getting that data. So
You know, this is for third party apps that, you know, trying to access your contacts, calendars, photos, a whole bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you go down all the way to the bottom of the section, this is where you'll find things like Apple advertising analytics, if you want to send that to Apple, the app privacy report. So there's a lot to try to dig in and poke around to see what's going on.
Yeah, if you've turned on App Privacy Report, you can find it at the very, very bottom of this page, which may be a pretty long list, depending on how much stuff you have in there. And you can find all sorts of, like, microphone, speech recognition, what has access to the photos on your phone, local network. So when your phone's on your Wi-Fi, what kind of stuff has access to those, what those devices are, et cetera. So it's good to have those. So check that out. And if you have a tip for us or you just have a question and you want to make sure it's something that we talk about here for you, you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And that's going to do it for us today. As always, Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.